Humans Grappling Podcast, take two with the McCaslins. We had some technical difficulties before, so
thanks, guys. Kyle's fault.
Right, yeah. So
all on me.
So Kyle was explaining why he got into grappling.
Yeah, so middle school, I'm still super short, super tiny, like less than 90 pounds probably. In robotics class, getting bullied by kids in robotics class, bottom of the nerd totem pole, terrible. And I looked up martial arts because I'm like super like internet savvy, so I was just like look it up. And then Joe Rogan obviously came up talking about jujitsu, everything about jujitsu, and jujitsu seemed like the only martial art where you didn't get punched in the face, and I was scared of getting punched in the face, so I picked jujitsu.
Awesome.
And I fell in love with it like pretty much instantly.
Oh no, the best part is when we go to do the trial class, the coach at the time, Andrew Ram, goes, so why do you want to do jujitsu? And before that, Kyle had told me, he says, I think I'm going to do jiu-jitsu because it seems like everything at school ends up with just two dudes rolling around on the ground. Mm. So I should be good at rolling around on the ground.
Very pertinent.
Right. Then we go to the gym, and Andrew asks him, why do you want to do jiu-jitsu? And he just looks up at Andrew and goes, because I think getting punched in the face sucks.
and that's
and to his credit, Andrew Ram, who's been a fighter, goes it does.
It does. Yeah, not fun. That's correct. Yeah.
Accurate.
Right. That's awesome. So, how'd you get into it, Doug?
So he starts in April. 6 weeks after he starts, he comes to me and he's doing every kid's class they have and going to open mat.
Yeah.
And he goes, I want more. And I'm like, I don't have a clue, dude.
Right.
Like, I don't have any idea what's going on here. Go talk to your coach.
Right.
And they decided to let him try the adults class.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, we'll see how it goes and if you can be respectful and not, you know.
Right.
Basically act like a 13-year-old.
Sure.
And.
But everyone else in there acts like a 13-year-old anyway.
Welcome to the planet. True. And then. So after that class, they said, yeah, he can go to whatever class he wants. And so from that point on, for the next 9 months, basically, he's training kids' class, beginner's class, advanced class.
Oh, wow.
Every day.
Wow. It's like, what, 4 hours?
Yeah. After school, come home, do like homework. Probably not. Let's be real. Yeah, I was playing video games probably.
Right.
And then I would go to class for like 3 hours and then go home, go to sleep, and then wake up and do it again.
Awesome.
And so he starts in April, so by December, I'm like, okay, I have no idea what he's talking about.
Right.
And we're basically committing our weekends to this thing.
Yeah.
I should probably figure this out. And then there's a couple other dads watching kids' class at the time. And we three of us got together and we're like, let's do this.
Yeah.
So we signed up.
Awesome.
Katie started before you.
Yep. Yeah, his sister also jumped in.
Gotcha. So then, yeah, you had two kids in and you
It was like, why not?
Right.
Let me go try it. And, you know, his other sister tried it too, but she was immediately like, nope.
Right.
Not for me.
Sweaty and, you know, gross.
It's not for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. What, so how long, I guess, was that now? How long ago was that?
16?
16.
Yeah, 16.
2016?
2016. So I can't do the
math. 6 years.
Six years. Okay. Yeah. Dang. Wow. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. You'd think I'd be better at it.
Right. Right? No. Everyone goes at different paces. Like, it's not a race.
You have a pace?
You have a pace.
I'm just stumbling along.
You guys are getting better? Like, right. The meme? Like,
well, that's one of the problems I have is, like, when I started in the 6 a.m. class, which was just being developed.
Right.
And so I was training with, like, the same four people.
Right.
For 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, we're still just like, I'm not dominating anybody, and no one's like running the class now. No one's like at the leader of the pack at this point. We're all just like flailing against each other.
Right.
You know? And it just felt like that forever.
Uh-huh.
Like, Doel, the coach, could murder me whenever he wanted, and everybody else in the room, it was like we were all rolling dice to see who's going to win.
Right.
And it took like someone brand new signing up.
Yeah.
Or someone from out of town showing up for any of us to have any idea we were getting better.
Sure. Because
we're just comparing ourselves to each other and just like staying on the same page.
Yeah, it's a weird, like, it's an insular kind of thing because you don't have a good perspective. Like, you can compare yourself to other people in the room, but you don't, if you don't compete or whatever, train with other outside people, you don't have that kind of like, okay, how objectively good am I? Right. It's just subjectively, it's just relative to other people.
Right. And I eventually came, I mean, he came to the idea of how objectively good I am, I'm going to find out. And I came, sure. I came to the conclusion of how objectively good I am, who cares?
Right. Yeah.
I'm having fun and that's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Exactly. It's good. Yeah. No. So Kyle, you've been a competitor since the beginning?
Yeah. Back in 2016, I competed like right after the summer I started training.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. I went on a trip to go see my mom in North Carolina. Uh-huh. And then I came back and I was like, I want to train more jiu-jitsu. Like I was fiending for jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And then I was like, he's like, there's a tournament. You can win a sword if you win. And I was like, I got to do that. I have to win the sword.
Like, right. Like, so we were so new. We're so new. And I was like, think about swords. I wasn't even trying to like bait him into the tournament. I was just like, check it out. They have swords.
Yeah. So I did a Naga in 2016. Yeah, the first summer. Year. And I got wrecked. I sucked. I was terrible. But I was actually good. I just got flustered because I hadn't competed in something like that independent. Like I had competed in team sports before, like I played soccer, but I had never done anything that's like independent sports. So you're like going head to head with someone.
Yep.
It's very intense the first time you compete.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So it was very intense. And I got washed my first match, terrible. And then second match, I was going with this guy and then he like took my back and he was like, it's over. He said that like an anime character or something.
This is a little kid too.
Yeah. Like a little kid. For some reason, like it activated something inside me and it like activated my inner rage. And like at the end of the match, I scored 4 points, but I was still behind.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, I need to compete again.
Right.
So then I competed again. I did a Extreme Couture tournament. And it's like, it was a big tournament, so they could see all the talent before the Naga came up like a month later in hindsight. But we did it, and I won that tournament. I went through it and won it.
Yeah.
And that was fun. So then I did the Naga.
You won that.
And then I won that. And then I went to San Diego, and I was just competing crazy at that point.
Sweet. So that's like, do you enjoy, like, that? I guess I haven't really had, well, I've had a MMA guy on, but like, as a competitor, like in the moments leading up to competition or the weeks leading up to competition, how do you feel? Like do you get anxious or nervous or just ice cold or whatever?
So for the first week, it's like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But then like the day right before, just all the nerves hit me at once and get super anxious.
Yeah.
And then right up until I get on the mat, slap hands.
Yeah,
I'm nervous, and then once I slap hands, I'm fine. Like I'm completely cool after that. Mm-hmm. But it takes till I'm right there.
Yeah, till you're in it, and it's like, okay, we're doing this.
Yeah, like,
this
I'm doing it. I'm in it now. I can't back out now. Right. I have to do it now.
Exactly.
Like I shook his hand. I'm not walking away.
Yep.
Yeah. No, there's the uncertainty. Like there's the unknown aspect of like you don't know who your opponent is.
Yeah.
Like you don't know who these names on this random like bracket are like. I mean, of course, they're like some like local guys or whatever.
Yeah.
Like or if you're traveling, that's like extra like stress. It was like, oh shit, I'm. Like,
oh, it was especially scary in San Diego at the time because there was a lot of there's 10th Planet San Diego, 10th Planet Oceanside, and I had to go against a bunch of people. I went against like Gio's cousin at some point. It was very intense.
I think it was his nephew.
Okay. It was something weird, and I was like,
right. We had no idea of jiu-jitsu celebrity at the time.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And so to us, they're like. I mean, they're actual celebrities.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
Right.
To jiu-jitsu people is...
To jiu-jitsu people, they're like, whoa. Like, and I'm like, okay, here comes Kyle. And I'm like, who's he up against? And like, Martinez is sitting in
this
coaching
chair. He's sitting in
this
corner.
And I'm like, what? You know, but at the same time, that's like one of my favorite things about jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, in every gym across the country, like, oh, for example, if I want to, at any moment, I can go to a class and train with the best 10th Planet guy in Las Vegas.
Yep.
Arguably, probably one of the top five 10th Planet guys, period.
Sure.
And I can go and roll with that guy.
Yep.
As a 47-year-old amateur, never going to be more than a hobbyist.
Sure.
I can go and I can touch hands with that guy and just let it all hang out if I want to.
Yeah, you know where you stand in relationships.
Right, so everywhere across the country or around the world, you know, guys like me are training with pros.
Yeah.
And you just don't get that in other sports.
Sure.
You know, like, I usually say this. I'm like, you can't go to Dodger Stadium and, like, play catch.
Right.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Like, or even more, you can't go and give those guys a couple hundred bucks for some batting tips. Right. Yeah, but, yeah. Like, we can walk into Marcelo Garcia's and any number of dudes who are at the top of the game
mm-hmm.
are willing to work with us.
Right.
I mean, and yeah, we pay them, but
yeah.
That's an access. That's even paying them is an access level you don't have.
Exactly.
At other sports.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You, I mean, outside of, I don't know, Nike has to pay LeBron James at least $100 million to get him to talk or whatever, or whoever, like, has to, like, pay these, like, top athletes, like, real, real money to get their endorsement on anything. So, yeah. Like, to, yeah, for us in our niche sport, hopefully going more mainstream. If Mark Zuckerberg is like the newest poster child for
jiu-jitsu. And Tom Hardy doing jiu-jitsu? And
Tom Hardy, yeah, exactly. Crazy. Right? Yeah. There's memes about him. So, yeah, if, I don't know. As it gets more mainstream, as more people come into it, there will probably be more gatekeeping.
Yeah, involved. we'll lose that access eventually. we'll lose that access, and so take advantage while you can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go on a jiu-jitsu road trip, and
yeah, and if there's a pay the drop in, and
yeah.
You know, go to AOJ, pay the drop in, and
yeah.
Get wrecked by Colabate.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Go for it. You can do it.
Yeah, it's entirely like.
Yeah.
He's going to be there. You know he's going to be there. Like right. These guys are training all the time.
Yeah.
Right? So
just go do it.
Just go to a regular-ass class. So that's cool. So Kyle is the competitor. He loves doing that. What I mean, you kind of touched on this a little bit more, but what do you get out of grappling?
Abs.
Abs, yeah.
Unintended.
Well, that's what your fiance said at the time.
Right, right.
When she first came, she was like,
Who asked for this?
Who asked for this?
Well, it wasn't me.
Right.
I did it initially out of curiosity.
Yeah.
And because at the time I thought watching kids' class, I'm like, man, I know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did it and it was terrible. But it was also like, I couldn't stop it.
Sure.
You know, I could not stop what was being done to me. And part of me was like, I need to be able to mitigate this.
Sure.
And so to me, it's a big chess match.
Yeah.
And it's a puzzle that I just want to solve.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about competition. I'm really not even that interested in the self-defense aspect.
Sure.
Although I know the value.
Yeah.
And the community is great.
Yeah.
But the community is not a reason you step in the door.
Sure.
It's a byproduct that everybody loves about it.
Right.
It's just the fact that I am intrigued.
Yeah, yeah, like it's
constantly.
You can never get too good at jiu-jitsu. There's no like completion.
Right. I mean, there's moves that I thought I knew that some other coach will show up.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, someone will take over class for the day because someone's out of town or whatever. Or maybe it's just the sixth time my coach, Coach Casey, has taught the move.
Yeah.
And it just at that moment, I'm like, oh, I don't do that part.
Right. You unlock some kind of you get detail.
Even with a move that you could be the move you learned day one, it's a move that comes up every other month.
Yeah.
But at some point, even after 15, 16 classes of the same move over the years of time, you're going to have a eureka moment with that move.
Right. Yeah. You unlock something out like. Yeah, I've noticed that. Like, I don't know. I've been doing it for 10 years now. And it's like, okay, this particular situation, I want to do it as perfect as possible now. Like, it's trying to do it exactly as whatever the instructor showed it, or figuring out how I can put my own spin on it. Because, like, all of our bodies are different, right? Like, everybody has kind of, like, different limb lengths and flexibility and things like that. So it's like at some point you're trying to take in somebody else's jiu-jitsu. Cause, I mean, at first, like when you're a white belt, you start, that's all you have.
You're
like,
an emulator.
You're just trying to like
survive.
You're just trying to survive. You're just trying to copy mm-hmm. What your coach is showing you. And eventually you kind of like get to create a little bit and you kind of get to personalize and kind of.
Yeah. I would say that the first stage is emulation and the second stage is editing.
Sure.
You just, you edit the move a little bit.
Right.
Okay. And then later on, you're actually trying to be inventive with like, well, how is the best way for me to get to this place?
Exactly.
Yeah. I dig that.
Right.
And I think that's another thing that really intrigues me about jiu-jitsu is because of that learning moment. Like that eureka moment, mm-hmm. you know, as like middle-aged man, it's like, oh.
You're learning something new.
I can still be taught.
Right.
Yeah. I can still be taught things I think I already know.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of opens your eyes to the rest of life. Like, what am I missing?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Don't I know the best way to sweep a floor?
Sure.
Well,
right.
I don't know.
Right. That's true. That's cool. Yeah. What does jiu-jitsu mean for you, Kyle? Like, what do you get out of it?
A lot for sure. Yeah. It's the one thing I have found. Like, I've done wrestling, I've done other forms of exercise and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and it's the one that clicks. Like, you know, it's just the one that works.
Sure.
Jiu-jitsu is the one that, like, goes with my brain. I feel like naturally something picks up with jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I did wrestling for, like, 2 years, and it was just not it. It was not for me. Sure. I could tell, like, it was fun for sure. It was good, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But the people that were teaching me, it was just not, it didn't work out.
Sure.
And it was just not as fun as I had with jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you're put in a situation where you're competing in a sport you don't like, it makes it so clear that the one you do like is like it, that's the one you got to stick to. That's
right.
Your lane.
Yeah. The comparison is like, you just have it right there in front of you.
Yeah, like, and wrestling is, it's great. It's super fun. Like I enjoy wrestling, but it's just jiu-jitsu is 20 times better. Like
right.
Wrestling in jiu-jitsu is better. Like everything
sure.
about it
you're,
is just
you're better. You're down to wrestle in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, but it's just and it's like, it's more of a point-based thing in wrestling.
Sure.
I like being able to finish. Like just being able to finish is part of the reason that makes jiu-jitsu so great.
Yeah.
Is you can definitively win.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in wrestling, when you win off points, it's just not as satisfying.
Right. Or when you pin somebody.
Yeah,
like a pinning is a referee decision. It's mm-hmm. like they get down there and they, whatever, stick their hand in or whatever judging criteria they have.
Yeah.
Is like, ultimately, it's in the ref's hands and that can be disputed. Like in jiu-jitsu is like the guy has to give up. Like that's
100%.
That's so it's a much more final way of winning.
Me and Derek have this conversation all the time because Derek is, he hates all refs. He thinks refs shouldn't exist.
He had an eventful ADCC trials.
Yeah, very much so. And I agree with him on most of it. So refs can be a lot of like, if you're mentally like already getting like feelings because of like how the competitor is like either like slapping you with a collar tie or something like that.
Yeah.
And the ref's like either not saying something and then you do something and they say something, like it can cause a lot of nerves in competition to like amps up and then it gets you amped up. And then I can see why he gets like aggressive about it and angry about it.
Sure.
But for me, it's more like when it happens, I just kind of shut down and it kind of ruins my mental. And I just kind of like, I'm like, eh. So that's something I've been working on, like to try to get back into competing and stuff like that, is like making sure my mental when I go into competition is like solid. So if something like that does happen, it just rolls off. You're like, whatever,
right.
It doesn't matter. I still want to win. Like I can win definitively in jiu-jitsu though. That's also the thing.
You're still in it. Yeah.
Yeah. And if sometimes, which is totally a thing that happens in wrestling, you might have someone pinned and that ref is just sitting there like, right next to their back. Like, just not doing anything, just waiting, just like has his hand like, oh, is it? I've twisted so many kids in wrestling and they'll be like screaming in anguish. Their shoulders are on the mat. They want to get out. Like, they don't want to be there anymore.
Yeah.
And the ref will just be like, we can keep it going.
Right.
We can keep it going for an extra 2 minutes. If there's 2 minutes left in this period, let's do it.
Yeah.
Just poor kids.
Yeah. It's awful.
Terrible. How many necks have you ruined?
That freshman year I was in JV, so a lot of the kids were not good. Like they just didn't like, because I've been grappling for like 2 or 3 years at this point.
Sure.
So I had the jiu-jitsu, so if I stuck a hook in,
they
wouldn't be able to get me off of them.
Sure.
So I would just twister them like for like a whole season, just of kids just getting twisted. And eventually they figured out like, oh, we can't like go against this kid. We got to just like if we go against him, let him run the half and pin you that way. And so I started doing that to them.
You got a reputation of
yeah,
torture. Sure.
In between middle school and high school, he was training with the wrestling team, and they sent him to this like tournament. Uh-huh. It was his first wrestling tournament experience ever. And halfway through the day, I'm at work, and I get a message from one of the guys, and he's like, "Hey, Kyle just armbarred a kid."
Yeah, I armbarred a kid. It was, that's the funniest thing I've done in a wrestling match. He like some way
not wrestling armbar, not a wrestling arm.
No, like a swim move.
Swim move armbar. Oh. Yeah, he was pinning me, and yeah. Somehow he put that arm between the legs, and just naturally, I just whoop, whoop, and then swung him over. But I freaked out because I'm like, wait, I'm not supposed to do an armbar. Oh, no. I let go, and then I fucked it all up. But I could have totally pinned him there just with my legs.
Right?
But
yeah. That's a unique pinning move, but I don't know if they would call that potentially dangerous or something like that.
They probably would, but yeah. they didn't at the time, which sure. I should have just ran with it.
Yeah, you got to wait till they actually call it.
Talk right. about bad refs again.
Exactly.
Just let me break their arms off.
Right. Yeah, because they are flat on the ground. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. As long as you don't extend the arm, like if you just hold it.
Oh, well, it was money. The swim move I did was so good. I had that arm.
And that poor kid probably had no idea what was going on.
Well, right. Andrew Ram, the coach at the time, was just like, for like a 3-month period, was like, okay, all the kids' class, we're only doing arm bars. So just in that period, my arm bars became insane at that point. And then they were like, oh, yeah, go wrestle at this tournament. And I'm like, okay. And then I just naturally did it. And it was,
you got on the jiu-jitsu track. And then it was like, oh, no. Yeah, that's cool.
It should have been clear that I wanted to do jiu-jitsu, not wrestling at that point.
Right.
That may have been a flag.
Yeah. An early sign.
Right.
Yeah.
The prophets are speaking.
Right. So how do you guys, like, since clearly we're not professional grapplers here, how do we support the habit of jiu-jitsu? So, Doug, I know you have a day job, unfortunately. You can't train all day.
Terrible. Yeah. I can't train all day anyway. Well, take that back. I can train all day for one day.
Right.
Then I need a week off.
Yeah.
I try to just, you know, some people say you should spend your money where you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to spend my money on the mat.
Sure.
So if I need an appliance repair guy, I ask myself who at the gym does that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I need help with anything, I ask myself, who do I know from the gym?
Right.
Who knows how to do the thing? And I try and support them that way. And,
right.
You know, I don't know why there's this huge crossover between entrepreneurship and jiu-jitsu.
Sure, right.
So many people are like self-starting businesses out of...
At least in this gym, I feel like.
It might just 100%. Be our culture.
Yeah, right.
It might just be our culture.
Yeah.
But so, like, I'm always kind of wondering, like, who's starting what, and am I, you know... Do I want to help with that?
Right.
And, you know, one thing I tell myself is don't ask for discounts. This is not about that.
Sure.
This is not about me getting a deal because I know a guy.
Yeah.
This is about me supporting a guy I know.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's a whole different animal. So that's kind of how I do that. I also, I love to train when I travel.
Sure. Yeah.
My wife hates it.
Of course. Yeah. Always pack a rash guard and board shorts.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in case.
Just in case.
Something like, you know.
Yeah.
You got a conference call? Okay, right. I'm out.
Right.
So I try to do that. And, you know, like I said, with the access that we have, I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
Like, I've trained with a lot of people that are a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, we've been to B-Team.
Mm-hmm.
We've been to 10th Planet San Diego. I've been to 10th Planet Long Island. We've been to Marcelo Garcia's. We've been to 10th Planet New York. We've been, like all over the place. And for the most part, everybody's just so welcoming.
Right. Yeah, it's a culture of like just
yeah
people being cool.
So yeah. I feel like if you enjoy it,
yeah,
then you should support it. And so that's why I ask myself when I need something if I know anybody from the gym who does the thing.
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to take in the direction of like what do you do as a day job to support the habit. Yeah.
Oh, make money really? That's all.
Right.
No, I work for home. I'm a database administrator. So that's another reason it's really good to train is because my job is completely sedentary.
Right, yeah.
You know, I literally work off of my couch.
Mm. Just keeping the same posture though. You're practicing your
your elbows your in
posture. Yeah,
you know,
right.
But yeah, I you know, I work from home, so I'm flexible. So if I can, when things are going well,
yeah,
I can. If I miss my 6 a.m. class, I can pivot to an 11.
Yeah.
On very rare occasions, I can convince my wife that I can go to a night class.
That's rare for me too.
Yeah. The joy of 6 a.m. is that's my time.
Yep.
And only my time. No one else is biting on that.
Yep.
So that's
exactly. So do you see like crossover at all, or like since like jiu-jitsu is a puzzle to you, and I'm sure.
Yeah.
Administering databases is also a puzzle, but in a different way.
Writing SQL code is also, you know, and it's also like when you're coding, there's a lot of statements, you know, if this, then that. Mm-hmm. And so I try to look at jiu-jitsu the same way.
Sure.
If this happens, then I do that.
Right.
You know, and then I loop it.
Yeah, you just keep going.
Yeah, you just keep going back.
Until the tap, or until the time runs out, or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or until I tap.
Right.
Which is often a lot.
Right. Panic statements for that is like, something, or exit error code, whatever.
Right,
just
right.
Like something went wrong here.
If this, then that, else tap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's cool. Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, databasing is very linear. And I try to treat jiu-jitsu the same way.
Mm.
You know, step A leads to step B. Step B leads to step C. Step C leads to them tapping.
Ideally.
Yeah. I mean, although, you know, usually it's step A leads to step B, then they jump to step X, and then
right.
I tap.
and then it's, something completely, unexpected, happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I see the same thing. Like, I mean, it's no secret, I do software, and like that's what we initially connected on. It was like, we're two nerds. We see each other.
And we were looking at moves like that. We were like, we were writing in notebooks, and we were recording things, and we were like, this goes to that, and this goes to that. And then we were like, well, what am I good at? What am I bad at?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were doing all that, and everybody else is just like, it felt to me like everybody else was just operating on feel.
Sure.
And they were like, it feels like an armbar now. And I'm like, it never feels like that, ever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Ever. I have a checklist.
Yep. Yeah, it's very, we enjoy nerding out over things. So we're like, taking notes and like studying it, like taking it seriously, like a class, or like a school class rather than a, you know, like a workout class where it's somebody just comes in, breaks a sweat, and just doesn't think about it at all. But like we're texting each other all day, like about different things and it's like, oh, what, this video to this technique and that, like, that's
how I'm definitely the guy in the parking lot after class starting up his car and then sitting there like, oh, three arm bars,
right?
Really?
Yeah,
you're better than that. It takes me a minute to finally get on the road.
Right, exactly.
You do that too?
Yeah, I do the same exact thing after jiu-jitsu. I'll be like thinking for like at least 30 minutes about how I could have done something differently, or how I could have done anything just to keep myself alive.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going through school now, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm doing all my core classes at CSN right now.
Okay.
Just to get all those done.
Sure.
And then I'm going to try out like a bunch of programs and see whatever one fits me, really.
Cool.
But core classes at like a cheap community college, and then I can go to UNLV later on to get an actual degree.
Cool.
Because CSN is just a build-up program, so it builds you for the first couple classes.
Cool.
And it keeps you with professors that are like actually like caring about like what's going on, like what you're writing and stuff. So I'll get like feedback on my assignments and stuff like that, which is fantastic.
Right.
So it feels a little bit more like, not necessarily that it's not college, but it feels like I'm getting feedback like I was in high school.
It's more personalized.
I kind of needed because COVID just kind of took everything out, so I hadn't been to school in a long time. So,
That's a wild statement to say.
Yeah, it is.
Sure.
Yeah, it took me out for a while. Yeah. Then I started doing UPS as a job. That was miserable.
Uh-huh.
They don't have air conditioning working, and they're like, warehouse. So it gets 110 in the summer.
In the warehouse.
And then inside it's 10 degrees hotter. So it's actually 120. Wow. And then if you're in the trailer, it gets even hotter. And I was loading in that trailer.
Oh, wow.
So it was just miserable. And I was like, I can't do this. I need to go back to school and just actually get something figured out so I don't have to do a job like this.
Right.
And to commit to jiu-jitsu, I feel like it's like, most, like, if you're a single mother, and let's say you're at the age where you're like, oh, I need to go to school, you can spend that much amount of time on your baby, like, taking care of them. I can spend, like, jiu-jitsu can be my baby in that sense.
Right.
And I can spend that time building that while I'm doing whatever I'm doing at school or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we have the luxury of, I mean, Doug's almost not have, like, you're empty nesting almost. So it's like you're...
The nest isn't empty,
but
like everybody can fly.
Everybody can fly and kind of goes off. So like we have disposable like free time in order to like whatever invest in this like weird thing that we like strangling each other and things like that. Like it's a I don't know.
That makes regular normal people interactions socially very awkward.
Right. Yeah. What's like. When describing jiu-jitsu to like some whatever one of your normal friends, what do they think of it?
Oh well, after they give me the
yeah right,
or the oh like UFC
yeah
no, what is my descriptor for jiu-jitsu? I just say it's like wrestling.
Yeah,
I mean because what I'm not going to explain it to them.
Sure, yeah,
you know most of these interactions aren't people I care about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just say it's grappling.
Right.
You know, I roll around on the ground. It's great for my core.
That,
you know, you know, default answer, are you any good at it? No.
No. How long have you been doing it?
Right. 6 years. My coach thinks I'm good.
Right.
I don't.
Yeah. That's true. What? So, I guess getting back to, like, how did you get into database development? Sorry, kind of the idea of the podcast, like how do we see connections between grappling and like professional whatever what we do as a profession? So like getting back into like how what got you into database administrating and what kind of set you down that path?
Okay, my career path is just weird. I joined the Air Force, and I joined the Air Force on an open ticket.
What's an open ticket?
Well, I mean, I'm saying open ticket. That's probably not the actual term.
Uh-huh.
But what happens is when you go and when you enlist, they're like, oh, what job do you want? And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, okay, well, let's look at your ASVAB scores. And they're like, oh, you scored highest in electronics. I'm like, okay. So I basically joined the Air Force telling the Air Force, I'm going to sign up.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to basic training.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to take whatever electronics job you want to give me.
I see.
And they give me a choice. And I, you know, being 20 years old, I was like, oh, I want to work on F-16s and F-15s. I want to do this and that and the other thing.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to be an air traffic controller, but they told me my eyes were too bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then I saw this one. It was like this telecommunications thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I could do that. And, of course, that's the one they put me in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up doing network security and systems administration, which is like fixing printers and changing keyboards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I got a job when I got out of the Air Force managing an application that ran on an Oracle database, and I had to learn the Oracle database.
I see.
And then after that job, I became an actual database administrator for a small company, and then a couple years ago, switched over to back to government work as an administrator.
Nice. That's cool.
And the you know the crossover to jiu-jitsu from just a job in general is pretty clear too. Like you have to respect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you don't get to pick who works for your company unless you own it.
It's true,
right? So you got to figure out how to get along with everybody to get the job done.
Right.
And you know, in jiu-jitsu, you got to be able to you know slap hands with anybody who's there, and you don't get to care.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to try to kill them. They're going to try to kill you. And it doesn't matter man, woman, child, race, creed, religion, political alliance. It does not matter.
Yep.
And we don't even care.
Yeah.
And so just like a job, just got to get the job done.
Yeah, exactly. It's a weird thing where, like, we have no idea, like, And that's kind of why I wanted to do this podcast. Like, we have no idea what we do, like, off the mats. Like, we just kind of, like, I mean, for if you get to know people and things like that. But we're all just kind of, like, at the same level. Like, we're all sitting at the mats, like, rolling, hanging out. Like, we don't have to, there's no, like, Gucci, I mean, I guess if you have a nice show your roll key or something like that, you can get a sense of, like, what your status is
right
out on the outside. But
I've never seen him wear the same rash guard twice.
Right? Or something like that. But yeah, everyone kind of has to, like, we get so much of a cross-section of society.
Yeah, and nobody shows up to the gym in anything other than their gym stuff.
Right.
Right? So, yeah. Except for maybe looking out in the parking lot.
Sure.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's a massive financial difference, religious difference, or whatever difference between the people. Because on the mat, it really doesn't matter.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, how has this affected you, like, you've grown up in the gym? Like, you can't really say otherwise because you don't know a different perspective.
Yeah. Well, kind of. I mean, middle school, luckily I had, like, the first year, sixth grade, no jiu-jitsu.
Sure.
Halfway through seventh, I had jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And then eighth grade, I hit a growth spurt, and I came back knowing jiu-jitsu. So, no one was able to bully me at that point.
Yeah.
And so that was, like, a shock for people when I got back to school.
Uh-huh.
It was like, oh, Kyle's, like, way taller now, and
yeah.
I can't, like, just mess with him. So there was a little bit of growing pains with that where, like, people were trying to mess with me, and I was just, like, not having it.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, I mean, it's been pretty good. Like, I pretty much just roll it like I'm, like, living, like, two covers. Like, I'm just normal. Like, I'm a normal dude during the day.
Yeah.
No one needs to know that I do this, like, on the side.
Uh-huh.
And pretty much the same thing with when I'm at jiu-jitsu. I'm just like, oh, I'm just Kyle that does jiu-jitsu when I'm here.
Yeah.
And they don't really know what I do outside of that as well.
I see.
Yeah, it's like living dual lives, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, it is weird.
Wait, to, like, Batman or something?
Yeah, I'm Batman.
You're announcing on this podcast. I am Batman.
Well, it was funny in middle
school.
You're
doing a crappy job.
Like, in middle school, I was a little bit egotistical, so I was like, yeah. Like, I'd make fun of the kids when they had fights, because everyone in middle school was getting into fights for some reason. So I'd make fun of them for, like, getting into fights. I was like, you guys suck at fighting.
Yeah,
you guys are terrible.
You guys have no idea.
Yeah, like, you guys are awful at fighting. This is so funny. And I would always go and watch the fights. So then somehow I became, like, the kid that recorded fights at, like, the school.
World star.
Yeah, in the back. That was so.
I did not know any of this.
Doug did not need to,
to
know this.
Yeah, I watched a lot of fights in middle school.
Oh, okay.
I did it in high school, too, but I tried to be less involved. Like, I didn't want to be the person wrapped around with it.
Right.
You and Derek are right at the front of the crowd every time.
Okay, a couple times. Derek claims that he doesn't like watching the fights. But come on. It's entertaining watching people who don't know how to fight.
Yeah.
Until it gets, like, dangerous, of course.
Sure.
Like, if, like, someone's head's about to hit concrete, I feel bad. But, like, when they don't know how to fight and they're just, like, clinched up, and we're like, oh, if they know how to get an underhook here, they could do something. And then
you know, that's probably an understated consequence of not knowing how to handle yourself, is that if you do get into something, you have to escalate it.
Yeah.
If you can't resolve the situation, I mean, our goal is to resolve the situation harmlessly.
Sure.
Like, nobody got punched, nobody got hurt, maybe someone took a nap.
Yeah.
But then we all walked away.
Yep.
You know, but if you aren't trained at all, it might be an unintended consequence of that in order to resolve the situation, you have to escalate the situation.
It's a one-way street.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know how to turn this around or how to...
Right,
like,
we have off-ramps.
Yeah, right.
They don't.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes it will happen, though, where, like, I'm wearing, like, a Naga shirt, and some kid will come up to me and be like, hey, you do jiu-jitsu? And I'm like, let's go.
Secret society, like, slap bump, just like, no.
Yep.
And I'm like, you have the secret handshake.
Yep, exactly. And then instantly me and that person are, like, a little bit cooler than, like, if we
only a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But.
Oh, okay.
When my wife and I went to South Carolina, we were on a boat to go out to a national park for the Civil War.
Uh-huh.
Like, to see some monuments and stuff. It was going to be a really cool history day. And I was I happened to be wearing a Nawaza t-shirt.
Yeah.
And some guy, we're on the boat, we're looking around, like, this is a great day. And this guy just walks up, goes, dude, where do you train?
Uh-huh.
It's like, and I was like, dude.
Dude.
Where do you train? I train in Las Vegas. He's like, oh, I train right here. I'm from South Carolina. I was like, really? That's awesome. And we're both blue belts, so we're both terrible. And we both admitted that. We're like, oh, I'm brand new to this. I'm only a blue belt. Yeah, me too. Oh, my God. And then, you know, my wife, fiance at the time was like, oh,
yeah, just like, ah, oh, no.
Right, right. Cause, and, you know, I ended up basically talking to this guy for the whole boat.
During the Civil War boat ride.
Right, but his wife and my fiance are both just like, again?
Right. Yeah, that's actually an idea I've floated with Lark is, like, I'll do a, like, spouse, like, podcast of, like, how jiu-jitsu has affected her. Of like, like, just she doesn't do it herself, but like,
oh, the biggest effect at our house has been the dinner table.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You are the worst.
Yeah.
He'll just bring up jiu-jitsu into any conversation. And I'm sitting there and I have like the awareness to notice like they're starting to get drowned out. And I'm like,
yeah, but I still hooked you already.
And then, and then he's got me in the conversation. Yeah. And I'm like, he hooked me in with some like,
question.
How do you do this heel look or something? I'm like, God damn it, I have to answer this question. But I have to do it in a short amount of time so I can get us back on topic.
There's an immediate timer running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have 45 seconds before detonation.
Right, to resolve this. To
right.
Yeah, because then they get mad and then they're like, we've been talking about jiu-jitsu for 30 minutes. And we're like,
only 30 minutes? Well,
only 30, that's not enough. Clearly.
We're good for another 90, right? Right.
Yeah. But yeah, that goes back into the thing where we were talking about, like, we think about jiu-jitsu like almost all the time. So I'll go up to his room and we'll talk about jiu-jitsu for like an hour or something, just like randomly.
Uh-huh.
And so
that's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that's a great like bond and thing that you guys share.
Yeah,
that's definitely having a shared interest is like you guys now have something to talk about forever.
Yep.
Like it is. I mean, it's a weird thing. Like sports. Sports is a weird like I don't know. I get jiu-jitsu way more than like talking about like how the Raiders did this weekend or whatever, right? Like you're not attached to that team. Like you didn't go out there on the field and like
that's exactly what I was gonna say. It's hard to feel for at least for me whenever watching sports like any basketball, baseball, like any of those big sports. It's hard just like even if you do that sport, it's hard for just to focus on like. The highest level, but in the highest level at jiu-jitsu, it's like I may have rolled with that guy. Like some of the people I've rolled with going into it, it's like it becomes fun even talking about like the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk about what you did that day. It's there's so much layers to it. It's not just like oh, what did this big team do this week?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like we said, you can actually train with those guys. So when they're competing, you're invested.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Because you felt that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've like when I don't know I forget who was on the maybe it was Andy or maybe it was somebody else competing and I see them like slap their like favorite submission on I'm like oh I know that like I've been there oh
that
it's done
sucks, doesn't it
yeah like yeah when Andy slaps a guillotine on I'm like oh it's done like that's it
we're good now
yeah
this is a wrap
yeah so. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's a, a unique thing in terms of like, I don't know, father-son connection in terms of like, you guys don't, normally teenage sons like hate their parents and it's like, oh, fuck you, dad. I'm sure that still happens, but.
Honestly, not after jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
Pretty
all
rarely.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All
I mean,
right.
That pretty much in about a year later. About a year later, that stuff all died out.
Yeah. It was early on.
At the same time, that was about the time where I couldn't physically restrain him anymore. So it's like it's all financial domination in my house.
I follow the rules.
You're right.
I need the trash taken out or what? Or I'm changing the Wi-Fi password.
Right.
Trash goes out on time, guys.
Yeah.
Which is cool because it's made me a better parent.
Sure.
You know, not that I was a huge physical threat in the first place. I never did any threatening like that in the first place. But like, you know, knowing that you can't push someone around makes you a little better negotiator.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that's the, I don't know. it's a weird, I guess I don't have kids. I don't know what the dynamic is like, but like, it's a, I don't know. It's a interesting like thing. The fact that you, both of you guys share the shared, have the same interest in like, are doing the thing together. Mm. I think that's one way you guys vent your frustrations or whatever. Kyle gets to sink a Darce choke in or whatever, and gets to.
Well, I try to avoid neck cranks.
Or neck crank, yeah, yeah. Or if he likes having his Wi-Fi code on.
I don't. If I could twister him, I would.
You're right.
Immediately.
Yeah. He tries.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Same with wrist locks.
Right.
All the wrist locks. He every single time.
You know, someday I'm going to be good at those.
Yeah.
Well, the
problem you're going to regret mocking.
You just forget to stop the elbow every single time. So if there's nothing holding my elbow back, I'm not going to tap the wrist lock. It just doesn't make sense otherwise.
Yeah.
I freely admit it's a work in progress.
Right.
I'll get there eventually.
Exactly.
See, but if you just had like one that you snuck in every once in a while, I'd probably get caught by that.
Yeah.
And if this wasn't you trying like three each round, if you tried like one, just one solid wrist lock, like you know where my elbow's going to be, I probably would get caught by it. Because they come on fast sometimes.
Yeah. I got to sneak up on you now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a shot. Yeah. And those are some of my best classes is when he comes.
Mm-hmm.
Usually unless someone singles one of us out, we partner up.
Yeah.
Occasionally we get singled out and we're cool with that. We both know we have friends at the gym.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we always roll together.
Yeah.
And that's fun. But yeah, I think parenting is communication.
Yeah. And jiu-jitsu is communication. You're communicating. I mean, you have to communicate verbally, like tap or
hey,
whatever.
70% of communication is body language.
True. Even just like in drilling, like I drill differently with like 8 different partners. Like if I'm going with Derek or Spencer or like anybody like that, it's like the drills are like, okay, well, how many can we get out in like the best technique as fast as possible, so we're getting as much reps in, making sure this is mentally downloaded as fast as possible. It's like it's business when we're doing that with them.
Sure.
Yeah.
But when I'm going with him, it's like slow, break the technique down, and see every single way I could move this arm or like this like one singular step to change this move and see how that might add to the equation.
Right.
And that's how I will do with him, which both are work perfectly fine for like drilling.
Yeah.
Because I'm learning a lot in both situations. I'm either drilling it into my head with those guys or I'm like slowly testing things out and just like experimenting.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And we learn jiu-jitsu at different rates. Like they can show a technique and I'm going to screw it up the first 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle's going to screw it up twice.
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah. Right.
And then he's running with it.
Exactly.
After that, maybe after that, it's just details to him.
Sure.
But it takes me 5 or 6 reps just to get the gross motor movement figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think that's probably a little bit, you know, the 19-year-old brain processing things to the body versus the 40-year-old brain processing things to the body. Mine is not listening as well.
Sure. Yeah. And yeah, because he started younger and like he has a lot of pliability in his body. He can like move his joints. It's very hard to pull a joint lock on you. Like you're very flexible and you can like, you're very in tune athletically and, versus, like you swam before, right?
Yeah, I was a swimmer. So my lungs are great.
Yeah. Right.
And the rest of me is not.
Yeah.
And I've also worked at a desk on a mouse and a keyboard for, you know, 20 years now, 25 years now.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you know, I got a bad shoulder and I got a bad neck and I'm not that physically gifted.
Sure.
I'm pretty flexible for 47, but flexible for 47 is like inflexible for 19.
Yeah, that's true.
Can you still survive the electric chair?
Yeah.
So that's good.
Flexible, yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Because I sometimes feel like I can't survive that. Like I know I can. Like it won't hurt me. Like later.
Yeah.
But at the time, I'm like, this is getting pretty deep. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know where we're going with this.
Right.
But cool. I noticed like ankle locks come on way faster for me than for you.
Oh,
like,
yeah, 100%.
For me, as soon as my foot is bent forward, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
this is terrible.
Right.
And he's like, it hasn't touched my calf yet.
Well, pops also have a completely different meaning to me. Like, people will move my shoulder up and it will pop, and they're like, oh, are you okay? And I'm like, my shoulder just does that. Like,
yeah,
that's just what happens. Like, it's fine. It doesn't hurt, and then it won't hurt for, like, ever. Like, it just won't hurt. But when it, something pops for you, it means like, oh no.
Oh, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I have done something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Things pop for me. It's just like, oh, well.
It's just cracking your knuckles.
Exactly. Yeah. It's almost like the same exact thing where it's just like, oh, it popped.
Moving on.
Yep. We just move on. Yeah, literally. And it's weird now hearing like that you, whenever you get a pop, you're like, oh no,
yeah,
this is going to hurt tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or for like next week.
I think not being a competitor and not being young, it's just like, if I'm out of wiggle room, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. Why risk it or yeah, whatever, right?
Like, I don't need you to hip into the arm bar.
Yep.
I can't turn my wrist. Uh-huh. I can't get your leg off my face. I can't stack you because yep, you're pushing me down or whatever.
We're done here.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Moving on. Let's keep rolling.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's all I want to do anyways.
Train in such a way that you can like always roll one more round or roll the next day or
yeah, that's, yeah, that's my goal. My goal, yeah, in every class is to show up the next time I want to show up.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I'm not trying to win practice.
Yeah.
Are exactly
you? No, I really don't care for taps. In fact, I enjoy jiu-jitsu when I'm on the losing side way more than I am on the winning side, because at least there's something to do there. Like,
loser. What a loser.
Yeah, no, I really do. There's something wrong with my brain where I like when I'm losing,
yeah,
and then I'm like, I can just be like, all right, what did I do wrong?
Yeah, what
and
happened
I can spend
there?
Hours just dissecting what I did wrong in my mm-hmm, head and yeah, thinking about it. And then the next time I show up, I can try something and still get my ass kicked and be like, well, we tried. I guess I got to try something else now.
You're here, yeah, for the challenge.
Oh, yeah, right. 100%. That's mm-hmm, that's the complete appeal of it to me, is that there's a struggle there.
Gotcha. What I guess we never really came around to, like, how do you see jiu-jitsu in your life in terms of, like, I guess schoolwork or professional or whatever, like, or have you not had a lot of experience?
I don't have a lot of experience, but it is extremely easy whenever someone's like, write an essay about something personal to you.
Oh.
You get 100% if you write about jiu-jitsu, because they yeah, tell you're passionate about it. So they're sure, like, oh, you cared about this essay, so yeah, I can tell you care about it. So here's the A.
Right.
So I do that all the time. Uh-huh. If they wanted me to talk about something, it's also a good way for people just to be like, oh, that guy does like something like that's outside of this. Like,
sure.
Yeah, it gives something else to it.
You're about something.
Like, yeah.
Like I'm waiting for him to have that breakthrough moment where he connects jiu-jitsu to life and realizes that anything he wants to accomplish is going to require getting the reps in.
Sure.
Just like learning a new technique.
Yeah.
Like, homework is just reps.
Mm. Yeah.
And exactly, that's how you get good at school.
Right.
Or whatever subject.
Yeah. Math and problems. Do the set of 10 math problems.
Right. That, yeah. That's just reps.
Yeah.
That's all it is. If yeah, you can equate it to doing reps in the gym and learning a new technique, then you can learn anything.
Yeah.
Annoying ass reps, though.
It doesn't come as easy.
No,
as
for sure.
Jiu-jitsu.
No.
Yeah.
I think more school, the reason school doesn't interest me is like as much as like jiu-jitsu or anything like that, is just because like it's like some of the classes, like social studies, is not as challenging. Or like,
sure.
Nothing is as challenging. Math, sometimes math can be challenging, but that might be because like I zoned out during like when they were explaining
sure,
an equation or something.
Yeah.
But then that's just getting the reps in, like you said. Like mm-hmm, you just got to practice it at that point.
Yep.
So when it's not super challenging or it doesn't grab my interest to allow me to be like, oh, I'm willing to try, it's really hard to focus on doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like kind of easy.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same thing, right? Like when you're a little kid and you're learning how to read and your parents come and help you read a book every night.
Mm-hmm.
That's reps.
Yeah.
Reps at reading.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, if you need to talk in front of a big group of people.
Right.
Being good at that requires consistently talking in front of people.
Mm-hmm. But,
and I just want that moment where it's like, I could do anything.
Yeah.
As long as I'm willing to do the reps.
Come on, Kyle, have that moment.
Yeah, I got to get there. I'm not there yet, for sure.
Well, like, what would you, I mean, of course, this is what every adult in your life is asking. Is like, what do you want to do when you, for the rest of your life or whatever? Like, what is the direction?
The only thing where I felt like I really have a connection to is jiu-jitsu, so I'm going to keep just going sure, with that. Just
yeah,
keep that in my back pocket for sure.
Yeah.
Just because, like, there's no reason not to. Just
sure,
keep training, keep yeah, doing something. So, if like, let's say, like, in 5 years, I want to do an ADCC or something, and I go do it, and I do, like, successful or something, like, that would be ideal.
Sure.
But, like, it doesn't need to be that. Like, I can go to school while I'm doing this plan. Like, I don't need to fully invest in on just training. Because
yeah,
I know a lot of guys who are like my age and don't have the ability to go to school.
Yeah.
Like that, then having to devote their lives to that, like having, cause I mean, I grew up with fighters like sure. that have not had any other choice except to fight and you don't want to be put in that position. So I want to make sure I always have another position to go back on, or like if, especially like I break my shoulder isn't able to go as far as it used to, like, or something like that. Just freak accidents. You got to be prepared for those. So
sure.
that's why I'm just pursuing school as well. And I will try out things in school, and I'm sure I'll find something that like piques my interest. I haven't found it yet though, but yeah, at least for now it's just jujitsu. So I'm keeping jujitsu in my back pocket and doing school on the side, and that will be perfect.
School is on the side.
Well, no, okay. Sorry.
School is a side thing.
School is the main hustle right now. School is the main hustle. I'll get that clear.
Just in case
my grades are fine.
He's not wasting grandparents' time.
I have straight A's right now. I am fine on my grades. Okay, I promise I do school as my main hustle. Right. I'm on top of my things. I promise.
Okay. All right. Good.
Everything I would have said would be invalid if I wasn't on top of my things.
I see. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. My whole philosophy would be completely ruined if I wasn't trying at school.
Sure.
Yeah. And I guess to brag on him a little bit, I did not make this happen. This is just him running with it. So
yeah,
he's running with the school. He got signed up. He figured out what he wanted to take for classes. He is doing the homework. I haven't said a word about it.
It's good.
I check in, but I don't have to like push.
Right.
He's just doing the thing right now.
Sure. Yeah. It's good.
And it doesn't matter how long it takes.
No, it's also like I'm in a good position where I get a lot of like, cause if being a local citizen in Nevada, you get a lot of scholarships. Cause, the Millennium Scholarship is obviously something that like is available for kids that grew up in a Vegas schools. And, so like I have a lot of like, just a lot of my schools already paid for. So it'd be so dumb just to like not take this opportunity to do it.
Sure.
It would be like very missed to just like not take the opportunity to get an education.
Yeah.
Even though like I don't know what I really am interested in education yet.
Yeah.
It's okay though, like because I can go and do it and figure it out. Like
exactly.
Have time.
Yeah. This is a reminder. Alexa's talking to us.
Sweet.
Alexa, stop.
Sorry.
Is she gonna apologize now?
I just set a bunch of timers today to like remind me to do like different chores throughout the day. So that was the run the dishwasher timer because it's now 8:45. So I know, I know that you guys have to get going or whatever. So, any lasting thoughts or I don't know, anything you want to plug, Kyle? Do you have a Twitch stream? I know you do video games.
I did. Okay, I did actually do Twitch for a long time.
Yeah.
But if you don't know, Twitch is a terrible platform for growth. If you've paid any attention
I've never paid any attention.
I've been into YouTube since like 2008 when YouTube was starting to blow up, like as a fifth or like as an elementary school kid.
Sure.
I was in love with YouTube and everything like that was going on with it.
Yeah.
But Twitch is not a platform to grow because it's listed. If you go on Twitch, it's just highest category people.
Yeah.
And then it just goes from there. So it goes highest to lowest.
Oh, okay.
And that way of that formula, it just does not promote growth at all. Because if you're a smaller streamer,
nobody's
scrolling to the bottom.
There's a statistic where it's like if you have 10 viewers, you're in the top 1% of Twitch, which is that's crazy, right? Like, yeah. The bigger streamers, they have like a large amount of it. It's like they have a lot of the viewership. So, I don't know. Just I got an Instagram, but I don't have anything on it. I don't post at all. So
I see.
I have nothing to plug.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll work on it. I'll get some stuff to plug.
Start posting some dope techniques or something like
well,
that.
Well, yeah. Hopefully,
do you want my Zelle?
The plan right now is to go back to competing. If I start competing, I got a little bit. I've been doing editing for a little bit, so maybe I'll edit like some highlights.
All right.
Maybe we'll do some of that, and then I'll post that on Instagram. Maybe that's what I'll do.
All right.
Cool. I haven't really thought too much into it, if I'm being real. But
yeah, no. You're on a podcast. You got to plug something. You got to. No, I don't know. Whatever. And I don't know. Do you have any parting words for us, Doug? Or
what do you have to plug?
I don't have anything to plug.
No.
Don't have any words of wisdom or anything.
I don't know. All right. Cool.
Bill, if you're watching, we
miss
you.
Yeah, exactly. Where the fuck are you, Bill? Well, he doesn't have social media, so he's not even going to see this. anyway. Oh,
God,
so
that's right. Does he even have a computer? Does he have electricity?
Right.
He's like pumping his own water.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He's out in the hills somewhere.
He would
somewhere,
be so happy
right?
with that.
Yeah, he would be. Like we're describing his happy. Ideal life right now.
His ideal is like Rocky training for Drago,
exactly.
Carrying trees through the forest. And
right. It's hilarious.
Metal leg. That's
right.
All I think about when I think about Bill is like a robot leg.
Yeah.
I tried to ankle lock it once. It was the worst.
No, every time
I
roll with
life.
Him, and if I grab his legs, I'm like, is this the right leg?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
This is the wrong leg. Really.
Try getting back triangled by that leg.
The metal
by
leg.
The metal pipe.
Yeah, yeah. Just getting choked by a baseball bat.
That is pretty terrible.
Right.
That's fair.
Yeah. It's cool.
No, thanks for having us.
All right, yeah.
No,
thanks for coming over, doing it. And yeah, we'll see you guys next time.